Welcome to the Monkey Bear Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1, Leveling Up. So before we start the podcast proper, I've got to offer a huge apology to the Shropshire Dad. Lee, I'm really sorry for the sound quality of my microphone during our conversation on your podcast. I really enjoyed our chat. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was really good. It's given me a lot to think about, and I've learned a lot from our chat, but unfortunately the sound quality was not good for my end. And thank you for putting a podcast up. Probably if it was me, I wouldn't. But it's part of the reason why this episode's titled Leveling Up, because after our chat, I've decided to level up my podcasting equipment, and I've now invested in a microphone that's hopefully going to reduce the background noises from me, because looking back, it turns out I'm pretty animated when I talk, and I think a lot of the interference was where I was using the headset with an external microphone. It was rubbing on my clothes, even though I tried to avoid that. So I've hopefully reduced the chance of that happening now. So hopefully I'm coming in crystal clear sound. I'm trying to limit my movements as best as I can, but I need to apologise to you, Lee. I'm really sorry. And for everybody that's listening to this now, go over and listen to the Shropshire Dadcast, available almost everywhere, I think. Really good listen. Probably want to skip my one because the sound quality is poor, but nevertheless, selfishly, I really enjoyed the chat. So yeah, Lee, thanks again for having me on, and I can only apologise for the sound. Sorry, mate. So a bit more of housekeeping now. In terms of social media, I realised on the last podcast I didn't really give out where I am and where you can find me on social media. So on Instagram, I am @monkey_bears_dad. On Facebook, I am @monkeybearkent. On Twitter, I am also @monkeybearkent. But mainly, I use my other profile, which is @john_y_. So that's where you can find me on all the social networks. Like I said in episode 0, I'm going for a more informal structure to this podcast layout now, and the topics that I talk about and the way that they format, or I format them. So rather than being scripted and planned out where I've now taken, funnily enough, advice from Lee, and I have bullet points that I'm going to be following. So it's going to be a pretty loose and varied podcast structure. Any comments or queries or questions, or hints and tips or advice, anything, contact me on social media and tell me if I'm doing it right, if I'm doing it wrong, if there's something glaringly obvious that's not there. So I think for now that's all the housekeeping bits, and yeah, on with the episode. So not only have I leveled up the podcast by making sure that I've got some recording equipment and not just using the Beats headset or any headset with an internal microphone to hope that the sound quality works, we've also leveled up as a family. We've gone from a family of 3 to a family of 4, and our fourth member, the cub, is now just over 6 months old. And I've got to say, his arrival has completed our family. It is amazing being a father of 2, a dad of 2. It's phenomenal. I can't explain it. I thought being a father of 1 was amazing, and being a father of 2 just elevates that to a completely new level, where it's completely different. Both boys are completely different. They both already have the bear, being 4 years older, clearly has his own personality, understands exactly what he wants to do and how he wants to do it, and the cub is developing his own personality, and they're completely different, and both of them are completely different as individuals, but share the same traits as brothers. And it's completely it's amazing. It's completed me as a person, you know, being a husband and now a dad of 2. It's completed our family, and it's really grounded me. But I've got to I've really got to confess that I think I had a false sense of security just before the cub was born, being a dad already, going, yeah, this is going to be all right. I know what I'm doing. It's not that different. It's not going to be that different, and it's not that different. But when the cub arrived, I had a brain meltdown. I completely forgot what it was like having a baby in the house. I completely forgot everything about having a baby and their needs and wants and everything. And I even like changing nappies. I forgot how to change a nappy. I forgot just the different. I just forgot everything about being a baby, or not being a baby. Clearly, you know, I've outgrown that stage myself. But with the cub, I completely forgot, and it was not a steep learning curve. I wouldn't say that's not quite right, but it was certainly a learning curve. Having a baby in the house again and getting used to it. But now I think we're in a rhythm. I certainly am in a rhythm now of exactly understanding what a baby needs, because it's not like the bear can tell me if he's hungry, or he can tell me if he's not enjoying or he is enjoying what we're doing. But the cub, I'm very quickly I managed to pick the signals back up. But yeah, it was just a shock. So I think I got a little bit complacent in terms of being a dad of two, but now that it's happened, it's certainly the best thing, and the bond that the bear and the cub have is, it melts my heart all the time. I think I'm getting softer the older I get, because it is the best thing in the world watching these two brothers who can't shake each other at all, thanks to Mama Bear and myself. They're forever linked and forever entwined, but to see them develop a relationship that is hopefully going to be strong and long lasting, because you know, it's great. The bear and I had a day out together, which I'll go into later in the podcast, but the bear and I had a day together, and we rang Mama Bear on the way back, and the cub could hear the bear on the phone. I was on the car speaker, and Mama Bear put the phone on speaker at home. And just the excitement in hearing the bear speak from the cub was amazing. And I must say, I'm not going to dwell on it too much, because probably it's going to form quite a lot of my podcasts going forward, being a dad of two. But it is completely different to being a dad of one. It's completely different having two children rather than one. But it's also the same, as odd as that sounds. And I'll try and explain that more as I understand it a bit more, but it is just perfect. It is really good. And I know it's you know, every dad's always going to say that it's great, and it's so good being a dad of two and being a dad in general, but you know, for me it is number one. I can't explain it. But it is every day we are learning as a family and growing, and it's great. It's what we want. And so yeah, we're settling in as now as a family of four, and I think as I find my way with the structure for the podcast, I think it's probably always going to be the main topic being a dad and what we do. So I'll try not to bore you too much by going over the same thing, saying, oh, it's so good being a dad of two, it's amazing. It is. So this is really me getting that out of the way, saying how much it's made me, if that makes sense, and elevated me and leveled me up as a person, and leveled the family up as well. So we'll stick with it. We'll as a bit of a sneak peek, I've now got both the bear and the bear cub on my own in my care for 5 days as Mama Bear and I haven't got a name, so as Mama Bear, because I don't want to give away real names, because it's not what I talk about involves other people. It's, they're not here to talk for themselves, which is why I give them the names, so that so Mama Bear is going to New York with Auntie Bear and Granny Bear. Let's go with that. We're getting a bit Brothers Grimm, you know, or whoever wrote the Goldilocks and the Three Bears. But yeah, so anyway, Mama Bear and Auntie Bear or Uncle Bear, because kind of difficult to explain, but the bear, when he was younger, loved Fireman Sam, still enjoys watching it now, but really, between 2 and 3, he was mad on Fireman Sam. And I'm going to give away names now, but his auntie is called Auntie Sam, or is Sam, and should be Auntie Sam. But because in Fireman Sam, he has a niece and a nephew, and they call him Uncle Sam, rather than calling his aunt Auntie Sam, he's called her Uncle Sam. So I don't know whether to call her Uncle Bear or Auntie Bear. So I think for clarity, it'll be Auntie Bear, because she's a she, she's his auntie, it's Auntie Bear. Anyway, I digress. Mama Bear, Granny Bear, and Auntie Bear are off to New York for 5 days. So I am in charge of the house. Two lives that aren't my own, and myself. And I shall be recording my daily efforts as each day. And I will be putting it out as a podcast as me looking after a 4-year-old, a 6-month-old, and myself, who... in the nicest possible way, I'm a bit clumsy, and I'm a bit, what's a nice way? A bit of a div with things sometimes. I mean, I can solve problems really well. It's my job, but I am a bit of a div. So I thought it'd be fun to record how I get on. So this is the first night. Mama Bear is off on a week away in New York. And this is the first evening I'm on my own. So I'm recording episode 1, but episode 2, I think, is gonna be the Monday to Saturday of the New York trip, where I am being the responsible adult and not a older child. So that's gonna be fun. So yeah, we'll see how it goes, and then we'll take it from there. Before I take on the mantle of 100% responsible adult, for the next week. In half term, I took the bear to the Avengers station up at London's Excel. Friends of ours had gifted me a ticket for myself and for the bear for my birthday and Christmas. So I booked it for half term. We're just finishing half term down here in sunny Kent. And I thought, as a nice way to round that off, I'd book tickets for the bear and I to go to London and have a look around and have a look around the Avengers station and just have a day out, really, just the two of us, because whilst we do things together, so playing with one another, no, that sounds wrong, playing with toys, clearly, and then he'll help me when we're building and whatnot, we very rarely, other than football, where I take him to football and watch him play or not, we don't really do things out together. So I thought it'd be nice to take him. I thought, right, we'll drive up, because it could be a long day, and I thought a tired 4-year-old on public transport for a couple of hours, probably he's going to be okay, but to be safe, I thought we'll drive up in the car. So left relatively early. Stopped for the obligatory McDonald's on the way, McDonald's breakfast, where we both demolished our McMuffin meals, and then we toddled off up to the XL. Got there pretty early. Got there about an hour and a half earlier than our time, which, in hindsight, was good, because, you know, traffic and getting into London, but maybe. You know, maybe we could have either had a little bit more of a lie-in and left a little bit later, or I could have booked the earlier time. But anyway, we were there in enough time, and we were able to have a look around, and it was lovely just being the two of us and driving up there, you know, for an hour and a half-ish, 1 hour and 45 to get from sunny old Margate up to the XL. Up at Docklands. It was great. We were laughing and joking in the car. We were just being silly and having fun, and it was think I may change the title of this podcast to Leveling Up, It's Grid, because it was great, you know, just the way we were playing around. And then we got to the Excel, we had a nice little round, we saw some big cranes, which the bear was interested in, and that diverted his attention for about 90 seconds looking at the big cranes and how big they were and standing next to them, until he saw the Avengers and saw Iron Man, and bang, we were back on task. We knew what we were there to do. So this is kind of my review of the Avengers Station, and my review of the day, review in inverted commas of the day with the bear and I. You know, spoiler, it was amazing. In terms of spending time with the bear on a one-on-one, so it's certainly something that I'm going to look to do, whether that's taking him swimming on his own, taking him to the park or soft play, or just spending some one-on-one time that's not in the house, is certainly something that I want to do more, because it was great. It was, you know, we had such a laugh, we were relaxed, there was, you know, at no point did I have to go, you know, and bark at him, because he wasn't listening, or wasn't he? We listened to one another. So if we were doing something, I'd say, no, how about we don't do that? Or, you know, I can't think of an example now, because it just happened. It was, oh no, please don't do that. And he didn't do it. And then he'd turn around to me and go, oh, Daddy, can we do this, please? Or, Daddy, for example, if we were prattling around, he'd say, oh, Daddy, please stop. And I'd go, yeah, bang, okay, cool. Whereas sometimes maybe at home, because we're comfortable and whatnot, we have a habit of winding each other up, because we're the same person, essentially. So it was really nice just being two of us, and just spending the day together was lovely. In terms of the Avengers Station, I would recommend, if you get a chance, I think it's only on for another month. So we're just coming to the end of February. And I think it's on to the end of March 2019, the date of this episode. So if you get a chance and get tickets, I would recommend going, because it is good if you're a fan of Marvel. Now, I'm a huge fan of Marvel. The bear enjoys superheroes. I'm not going to call him a fan of Marvel, because he's not seen any of the films. His only exposure to Marvel is via children's books and action figures, and maybe the odd YouTube video, although he's gone off YouTube. We're not watching YouTube at the minute, but so it's not like he knows the full backstory and canon of the Avengers. But he understands Iron Man, he understands what he does, and he understands the Hulk and who Thor is. It was great walking around and seeing the bear's eyes open up in awe when he saw, like, the Hulkbuster outfit, or the Iron Man suits from Mark 1 to 6, and seeing an Iron Man statue in a pose, all, you know, life size. It was lovely. Oh, there's a sneak peek of the bear cub having a cough. Clearly wants to get involved in the podcast. It was great seeing the bear's eyes light up at all these things, and seeing all these, all these items and all these bits of the Avengers that you could touch and look at and take in. And he loved it. I loved it. It was really good. The exhibits were really well laid out, really. The hosts, or the chavvies that take you around or let you in, were really good. Went in to begin with, they were really honest. They said, look, when you go through the door, there is a game. It's going to take 2 minutes to play. However, the queue could be up to an hour. So if you're going to go, if you want to have a go on it, we suggest it's only for kids. It is aimed at the smaller Avengers, not the older Avengers. But if you queue up, it could take up to an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Head there first. Then you can go in and out of the exhibit as you please, or the station as you please, but go there, queue up. So, you know, we queued up and had a look and had a go, and bless him, the bear, he's not been exposed to to shooting type games. This is essentially a shooting game where you take on in virtual reality, you're Iron Man and you've got a blast. I think they're Ultron robots. So they're, you know, so you've got blast robots basically. And by the time we got there, the bear didn't want to do it, and that's cool. I'm more than happy to that, because we queued up, we were able to really take in the Iron Man exhibit just from being in the queue. We saw everything from being in there. And I'd much rather, with the bear and the cub, I'd much rather queue up and get them to look at it and understand what they're doing, and then turn around and go, yeah, no, Dad, I'm okay, than go around all of it and go, oh, I wish we'd have done that. Now, I know that seems a bit perverse, because we only queued for about 20 minutes. But in those 20 minutes, we were able to take in the whole, because of the way the queue was, we were able to take in everything. It's not like we missed anything. The only thing we missed was a 2-minute game. So I'll more than happily do anything like that and not get any amp. There was a couple or a family that did the same as us, but they had a different reaction, and it was like, oh, we've wasted time, blah, blah, blah. But in my head, I'm there for the day. So if it takes me an hour to queue up for nothing in terms of not playing a game, or whether it takes us 5 minutes to queue up and the bear has a go and enjoys it, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. We're there for the day in my head. So let's just take the time and have a look and really fully take it in. So then after Iron Man, you go in to see the Hulk, and you see Bruce Banner's lab, and that was good, actually. You know, there was an interactive Hulk. There was kind of like life-size Hulk hands, which were massive. It was unsurprisingly, it's the Hulk. We didn't stay near too much, because again, it was a bit loud. And I think after the game, and the fact that all these things were coming towards you, we then walked into the Hulk roaring, and it was kind of like, whoa. So we quickly diverted into Captain America's room, which was the next one. We did go back to the Hulk, but it was that quick kind of, I think for the bear and myself, we needed that, the bear needed that, a kind of like a bit of a warm-up, rather than just coming out of one and straight into something shouting at you. A bit of a warm-up going into wherever. But I understand, you can't just have a walkway as if it was an actual Avengers station. You have to work with the space you've got. But the Captain America exhibit was amazing. We queued up for 5 minutes, and the bear got to sit on Captain America's bike and then have a photo, and we both got to sit on Captain America's bike together and have a photo. And the rumour was from the the hosts, the people showing around, that this bike was one of the bikes owned from Captain America, owned by Stan Lee. Now, how true that is, because technically, if he's got any controlling interest in the Marvel company, or had any controlling interest or stake in the Marvel company, technically he would have owned everything there. But the story was, personally, this was owned by him. And this is where the bear really got into the zone of the Avengers. You know, the wow, this is Captain America's bike, that's Captain America's shield, that's his uniform and helmet, wow, that's the Hulk's hands, because we went back. We're now going to Thor's area, and wow, there's Thor's hammer. I'm not going to try and pronounce it on a podcast, because even given my dulcet Thanet tones, I'm just going to chew my tongue off trying to say it. But anyway, there was a chance to try and lift Thor's hammer, and the bear had a go, and he was just blown away that Thor's hammer was there, and his helmet and everything and all of it. And then we went through and then kind of went to the B team room, which was a little bit, it was good, because it was Hawkeye, Black Widow, War Machine, Ant-Man, the Falcon, Vision. They were all there, and they had all props. So you had Hawkeye's bow and arrow, you had Ant-Man's suit, you had Falcon's chest plate and back piece. You had, you know, a statue of Iron, not Iron Man, War Machine. The only downside for me is that there wasn't more of them. It was kind of like, this is them window, this is them window. But again, I know it's space. Then you went into a small area about the Infinity Stones from the Infinity Wars and the baddies throughout the Marvel Avengers films and individual films. And then what was it? Oh, then there was an Ultron, a body of Ultron, one of the baddies from Avengers Age of Ultron. And then it was the Tesseract from, I think it was Thor and all the Avengers. And the bear got to activate the Tesseract. And it was good, it was really good. The exhibits were good, were really good if you were a fan. We were there, including the queuing for a half hour-ish. I can't remember what it was, I'm sure it was half an hour. We were there about an hour and a half, an hour and three quarters, enjoying it, and it didn't feel that long. But when we were in the middle room, because you could kind of see all the way through, there were the people that weren't interested that just kind of went in and out. And it, you know, it, in my head, it was a lot of money just to go in and out. But if you enjoyed that genre, and you get a lot out of that, that genre, you know, superheroes like I do, and the bear does, it was great. It was great. Again, the other downside really was that the merchandise at the end, you paid exhibition merchandise figures, prices, sorry, for it. I've got to admit, we didn't buy anything because I'm tight and I'd much rather take, well, I did in the end, I took the bear down to Smith's Toy Superstore, as we have to call it, and I said to him, I said, on the drive back, on the walk out, I said, listen, I want to get you something to remember the day, and I want to get you something, you know, that you can play with to enjoy, because you've been amazing and I want to spoil you because I'm your dad. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay those prices because you could get more elsewhere for that. I said, and it's up to you. If you want something, we can, or we can go to Smith's. No, can we go to Smith's, Daddy, so I can have a look at something? Yep. Music to my ears, because it meant we could get more for him, or I could buy him more. So in the end, we when we left, we got lunch, good old Tesco's meal deal for the both of us, which we both demolished, and we headed back from Docklands down to sunny Fannet, and the bear bought a set of Lego that he hasn't stopped playing with, which is nice as well. So it was really good. So on the whole, as a day out, as a smaller version of Harry Potter World, or the Harry Potter Experience, I can't remember what it's called, I call it Harry Potter World, but the Warner Brothers Studio Tour, which Mama Bear and I did a couple of years ago, I think, that was really good. It was in the same vein as that, where you got to sort of see the props and you got to understand the lore of the world. It's well worth going as a fan and having a look. Be prepared to queue at peak times. One of the reasons why I chose a morning slot, to try and miss that. And also be prepared that if you're going to buy something from there, you're going to pay not only the Marvel markup, the London markup, the Excel markup on what it is. And again, I'm tight. It wasn't a letdown, but it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a letdown. It was just a, okay, yeah, this is another cash cow. And don't get me wrong, they didn't lose out by us not buying, because the queue for the tills was longer than the merchandise area, the retail area. But it was really good. And if you're the mate of mine, or the mate of ours that got me the tickets, thank you very much, because it not only was it a great experience seeing those things in real life for me personally, the best thing about the day was spending some one-on-one time with the bear and essentially being nanas like we are, and being silly with one another. It was fantastic. So yeah, good solid day out. Give it a go before it goes. Last year, Granny Bear and I did a charity walk for the Pilgrim's Hospice, and I can't remember whether I've podcasted about it or blogged about it, but it's one of them. So either check out Monkey Bear podcast season one or go to the blog, monkeybearkent.wordpress.com, I think it is. That's one of the things I didn't put in about the social media in housekeeping. There is a blog that's untouched, but there are some pieces up there. I think it's monkeybearkent.wordpress.com. I'll put it in the description. Anyway, we did Granny Bear and I did a 25 kilometre Pilgrim's Hospice walk, the Pilgrim's Way Challenge, from Wye near Ashford to Canterbury, just outside the city centre to the Pilgrim's Hospice in Canterbury. It was really good, really enjoyed the walk. It was certainly, that's not my belly, if you can hear that, that is the dishwasher. Really good walk, lovely countryside. It took us 5 hours, 13 minutes to do 25K, but it felt like it took an hour and a half. It was a lovely day, lovely walk. And we said, you know what, we're gonna do it again next year, in 2019. So 2019's come along, and the Pilgrim's Hospice literature came out, and looking through it, there on the Pilgrim's Way Challenge, there was a 25K walk, a 35K walk, and a 55K walk, must be 55K, I think. Anyway, I'm sure it is. So I've signed us up for it. Obviously, with Granny Bear's knowledge and consent, we are signed up to walk the 35 kilometre Pilgrim's Way Challenge of 2019 from Canterbury Pilgrim's Hospice to Dover Castle. Two reasons why. Number one, Pilgrim's Hospice is something that's close to our hearts. Three reasons why, really. Number two, I really like doing challenges. I like setting myself challenges that, probably like most things. Oh, gotta go. And I'm back. I really like doing challenges. Probably like everything I've done in my life to date. I probably leave things to the last minute. That's part of the challenge, is saying to myself, no, I'm not going to. I've managed to not leave academic or work things now to the last minute. I managed to pace myself, but certainly with these challenges, I usually go for, rather than doing it every other day, I'm just going to do it every day and reduce the time I have to start. So rather than doing it every other day for a year, I'm going to do it every day for 6 months and then have a year off, kind of thing. So that's part of the challenge as well, is to get me doing more and sticking to something, which links into the third part of the reason why I'm doing it, is because since the Cubs come along, I've gone back to getting a dad bod again and just going, yeah, let's have another full packet of sweets and a beer. So it's another motivation to make me lose some timber. So it is, I think, on the 22nd of June, we are, 22nd of June, doing the Pilgrim's Way Challenge, 35 kilometres from Canterbury to Dover, and I'm starting walking, not now, because it's night time and I can't be bothered walking out, plus I'm the only adult in the house, but I'm trying to walk more, trying to get my steps up, I'm going to regret saying this, because I'm going to say it out loud, and I'm probably going to put this on a podcast and not cut it out. I'm trying to do 10,000 steps a day. I haven't done it in the last week, because, you know, excuses, but I'm trying to get back to doing 10,000 steps a day and not topping out at 5,000, and I'm using it as a motivation to think about what I'm doing in terms of what I'm eating, what I'm drinking, you know, what I'm putting into me again. And for the first time in too many years that I can't imagine and think of, I've cut sugar out of coffee, and I'm a prolific coffee drinker. It is a drink that I will start drinking from the minute I wake up, and I will have a cup of coffee before bed. And I was putting sugar in it all the time. So I managed to cut sugar out of those coffees. So that's, you know, a coffee an hour is now sugarless. So I'm going to take that as a little victory. So yeah, I'll keep you up to date with how I'm going on the podcast. It's going to be another thing that probably forms the staple, if you know what I mean, of everything. So, you know, dad life, my podcast, and also just another motivator, as silly as it sounds. I've now said that I'm going to try and do 10,000 steps a day. I know when I'm recording this podcast, and I will be able to tell you whether I have or haven't at the next proper episode, not the episode 2, which is kind of a diary, but certainly in the next episode I'll give you an overview of how well I'm getting on. So we'll see. Stick with it, and any hints and tips about walking and what I should be doing and advice on gear that you have or hacks, let me know, because I am pretty lazy. I've got my walking boots, or my walking shoes, I like those. But yeah, pretty lazy. So any hints and tips, let us know. So being a geek, I'm also a gamer. I enjoy my PlayStation 4. If I had the time and I had the money, I would have a gaming PC, but I can't go down that rabbit hole. But I like my PlayStation 4. And one of the games I'm playing at the minute, which I won't spend too much time on because I haven't devoted too much time to it, is Red Dead Redemption. Because a game like that, where it is so open world, Red Dead Redemption 2, for those that don't know, is an open world game by Rockstar, the makers of the Grand Theft Auto series. This is set in the Wild West. And you play Arthur Morgan, an outlaw, a member of a gang, but it's story driven, and I know what I'm like, I'll get immersed into it. So rather than getting immersed into those games, I'll probably be getting immersed into it this week, because I've got more time, in inverted commas. I'm off, so the cub's going to be asleep, so if he's asleep for a couple of hours, I might be able to go on for an hour and then an hour in the evening and still think of the story. But when I'm at work, the PlayStation in an evening doesn't always take priority, especially with a game like Red Dead Redemption 2, where I know I'm going to get sucked in. So when I do play in an evening and I play with Gogo, I want to play games that are either short, sharp and brief and I can get involved in, or are long enough that they're there for that experience and gone. So I'm playing a lot of battle royale games where it's an arena of 100 players, and if you survive you win, or I'm playing first person shooters like Call of Duty. So Gogo and I at the minute, or have been, playing battle royale games and really enjoying it. So the one we've been playing really predominantly is Call of Duty Black Ops 4 Blackout. Probably got the name wrong, but essentially it's Call of Duty Blackout. And we were playing it the other day as a squad. So it was Gogo and I and two randomers. We decided where we were going to land. We landed. Now, I've got to caveat everything before I actually go into the story. I am shit at these games. I don't play these games because I'm good. I don't play these games because I want to be number one. I'd love to be number one, but I know I'm not that good. I play these games predominantly because I enjoy them. They're quick enough that it's like that. I can't remember the film, but it's that Tom Cruise film where it's Live, Die, Repeat. That's essentially what it is when I'm on there. I spawn in. I will survive anywhere from being the number 100 I'll be the first person to die, or I'll be the 90th person to die. That's kind of my range, and it's completely hit or miss. I cannot load into a game and tell you how I'm going to be. It's purely based on the luck of me bumbling through the game as to where I'm going to end up. So anyway, Gogo and I were playing. We were playing a squad of four. This is how long ago it was. It was if you died and you had a team member still alive, you were able to respawn back in. So I can't remember. It's bugging me that I can't remember what it's called, but it's there. So we were playing with two other people, two randomers, and we spawn in, we drop down, we start running around looking for things, like, you know, looking for bandages and weapons and ammunition, running around trying to find everything. Get there and we see this car coming towards us with a teammate in. We think, cracking, he's coming to pick us up, we're going to get to the safe zone, and we'll take it from there. Next thing you know, he's run over us, just ploughed into us, wiped us out. And I was there going, he must have done that as a mistake. That's ridiculous. Yeah, why would you know, he must be new to the game. He must be newer than us. He's run us over. Guy goes like, yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe that. Anyway, we're watching our other teammate, with the other randomer A, we'll call him. No, randomer B. So randomer A ran us over. We're spectating randomer B, because if he survives into the next circle, or if either of them survive into the next circle, and we will redeploy back. So we're kind of rooting for them to live longer. Then we're watching them. And next thing you know, the fella that ran us over ploughs over this other fella and knocks him out and takes him to the redeploy area. I was like, what's going on? I mean, me being fit, never realised it, but essentially, we'd just been trolled. A member on our team decided it would be right funny, rather than playing as a squad and trying to do well in the game, and I'm not about competitiveness, but if you're a member of a team, you usually work together. But this absolute silly fool noticed the strategic pause there for the right name. This silly fool thinks it's funny to kill his team and go off and be Johnny Rambo on his own. Hold on. So this fella thinks it's funny to be Johnny Rambo and go off on his own. And it riled me, it got me. I got proper round up over it. I was like, I'm not having this. Even if I die through the hands of somebody else, I'm making it my mission to get my revenge on this person. I was in a completely different mindset. It's probably the mindset that I should play every game. Because we spawned back in, I ran around like a loon, picked up some weapons, and I waited for him because I knew he was going to come, because he thought we were easy targets. So I waited for him. I was waiting, and he came along. Bang, done it. Killed him, got my revenge. And I carried on playing the game. And I thought afterwards, you fool, what a tool. I mean, I'm a grown man playing a game. And rather than play the game and just ignore it or leave it and quit it and go, I thought, no, I'm going to get mine back on this troll. Or whatever you want to call him. I'll call him a troll because, you know, I'm a granddad. I'll get mine back on this troll and I'll seek my revenge and I'll ruin his game like he ruined mine. No, full well that he's not going to care because he's just going to spawn in and do it himself. And it got me thinking, why would you do that in a game? Why would you be a member of a team to then kill your teammates so that you can go off and play the game? First of all, why don't you get some friends so that, you know, they can be on a joke? Because it'd probably be funny if Gogo Friendly fired me because it was a funny circumstance. I'd probably took that and go, that was quite funny actually. I'd probably get the amp to begin with, but once I'd realised it was a joke, I go, yeah, that's pretty funny. Let's have fun. But no, this job's worth, this tool, I'm just going to ruin a load of randomers games rather than playing a game. And I just don't get it. Like all these online gaming things, why don't you just play the game and enjoy it? Why go and have to ruin it for other people? This is my old man rant now, part of the podcast, where something got me and I just didn't get it. I just don't get it. Even now, I have no explanation. I just wanted to put it out there that I don't understand it at all. So I still play the games. I still live, die, repeat whenever I can. As I say, Mama Bear's off for this next, or off in New York for this next week. I'll probably load up. There's a new game coming out. I'll give it a go. That with PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. All of them. I just enjoy running around aimlessly and trying to live as long as I can. But then, don't troll. You know, like, get a life. So the moral of this little bit of the podcast is me basically going, just play the game and have fun. And if your fun is trolling people, then fuck off. Just do one. There's no need. I'm not saying your fun's wrong. It's just not my type of fun. And just don't ruin it for other people. You know, like Will Wheaton always says, number one rule of the internet, just don't be a dick. And I think that should be adhered to more and more, you know, with these like online gaming and the internet. Just don't be a dick. Go on there, go, you know, use these things for your own entertainment and whatnot. And if you do something at one point and that makes you go, oh, a bit of a dick there, don't do it. Or even if you think to yourself, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. This is hilarious. And then just take a second and go, is this going to make me look like a dickhead? And if the answer is yeah, don't do it. Just don't be a dick. So my moral of this part of the podcast, on the internet, on online gaming, take Will Wheaton's advice and just don't be a dick. Linking nicely into not being a dick is probably the number one story that it's creased me. It really has. This is how long I've been planning the podcast and not doing anything about it. I found this particular item on the 17th of January 2019, and the second most popular story on Kent Messengers, Kent Online. Underneath, scaffolding put up outside travel agent that ruined the man's wedding. Basically, depreciate that story. Is foreign wedding wasn't the best, and it wasn't necessarily what he paid for. So to get his revenge on the public highway, not the road, but in the public footpath, he permitted scaffolding with a big banner that was basically the holiday you organised for me where I was going to get married was shit. Don't use this company. So that was story number one. Story number two, I mean, you're going to think that's going to be pretty hard to stop. Story number two, on the 17th of January, 2009. Sorry. 17th of January, 2019. Kent Messenger, Kent Online, was snow fell in Kent. Number two story, snow fell in Kent. And I'll read the hook. Snow has been seen falling in the county today as the cold snap arrived. Pictures have been sent to Kent Online of the white stuff coming down in Borstal near Rochester. Eyewitnesses have also reported snow in Sittingbourne and the Lordswood area of Chatham. Now, they put photos up, and with the way that they've sold it there, you think, wow, this is batting down the hatches, boys and girls. We're in for the beast from the east, Mark II. It's going to be a killer. We're going to lose thousands, countless. Call the army, you know, call everybody in. The first picture, there's less than 100 snowflakes. It essentially looks like someone may have shook a pillow, and all the downy bits come out. And yeah, it's I will somehow link photos to these, because this is amazing. The snow in Ashford, picture by Sharon. Well done, Sharon. You're able to take a picture of some sleet falling. And not laying. I mean, the Ford KA over the road still looks like a blue Ford KA. And snow falling in Sittingbourne, it's just fancy rain. And I just, this is why I want to do the podcast, to find things like this, to find those little things that are just amazingly ludicrous in my own head and share them with you guys. Because as well as being a dad and sharing you all the good stories about being a dad, these things really like genuinely make me chuckle. Like snow fell in Kent, whoa, stop the presses, no, most popular story, 17th of January, snow fell. You know, like story number three, right, was woman dies after horror crash. That's pretty bad, you know, but not, it's not as, it's still not beating snow fell in Kent. Number four, shocking footage of car causing crash captured on dash cam. That was four. Number five, she asked me to kill her. There, you know, there are three, four and five. So you're going to think to yourself, one and two are going to be pretty up there in terms of local news. Story number two, snow fell in Kent. What an anticlimax. I mean, it wasn't even snowing. It's like the cloud tried, you know. Mother Nature thought, I'll try and dump a load of snow on Kent. It just didn't work. It was like, bless. And I'm probably regretting this now, because at some point I'm probably going to open my door to 6 foot of snow in the next week or so. And then story number one, scaffolding put up outside travel agents that ruined a man's wedding. They still beat the other stories, which were like, wow, that's either highlighting something that's radically wrong on the road or with our systems or whatever. No, snow fell in Kent. Come on, guys. The weather. That stereotypically British thing to put in the news at number two. A non-event of snow. And when I put the podcast up, I will link it with snow fell in Kent, and I won't even put anything on my Instagram or Twitter. It will just be a screenshot, two screenshots. So go and check it out, and you'll know. And if you listened to the podcast and you see these two things, rather than just leaving a like or double tapping it on Instagram, put something down like, I don't know, comment on the post. Just out of interest, just comment hashtag oh no snow or something like that. Yeah, let's go with that. Hashtag oh no snow when you see this, just so that I know for my own little thing that, yeah, someone's actually stuck around for this long. So, snow, ladies and gentlemen, snow fell in Kent. Watch yourselves. Stay safe out there, people. Thanks, guys, for sticking around this long on the podcast. It's getting easier talking to myself out loud. Less weird. I've really enjoyed it. Really, you know, once I got into a groove, I've really enjoyed it. I want to try a few more things. I want to use the podcast as an excuse to watch more films. Expect to see or hear, I should say, because, you know, it's a podcast. My take on a few of the films that have come out recently, both on cinema and DVD, at the cinema and on DVD. I'll be putting those in there. I've really liked the relaxed feel. It's challenging, you know, that's part of the reason I'm doing a podcast, is to challenge myself and push myself. It's challenging, only working to bullet points, but I think it certainly makes me feel more relaxed. Hopefully that comes across and in the recording, that it's slightly more relaxed, but there is still some coherency to it. Please, if there isn't, let me know on any of the methods above, constructively at all, you know. As I said, number one rule of the internet from Mr. Will Wheaton, don't be a dick. I'll take constructive criticisms all day long, but, you know, don't troll me. Don't run me over, you know. But let me know. That'd be good. And so any constructive criticism's great. Would be greatly received. Anything that I can do to improve. I already feel I need to flesh out the bullet points a little bit more. So not quite a script, but certainly a bit more coherency. Maybe for me, I think maybe I need a structured start, middle and end, but for each topic, but we'll see. So I'm rambling now. Thank you for staying around this long and listening. Any constructive criticisms, let me know on any of the details at the beginning of the podcast under housekeeping. And until the next podcast, stay safe, have fun, and I'll see you later. Cheers. Toodaloo.